This week on the podcast, we continue our conversation with Hetty and Debbie as we give you Kids in the Biz Part 2. Topics covered include the submission process, auditions, and how to manage expectations, auditions, bookings, and yes, rejections. Get ready for this no-nonsense deep dive that will help you on the right track right now.
When my child is not selected for a role, how do I explain to him what happened? Can you talk about rejection and why a child is chosen or not chosen for a role and how to walk them through that?
Wow. There's a lot of things I like to say on this topic because, again, as a former actor who is now a CEO, I have gone through so much rejection and so much reinvention of myself. The one thing I like, and I know that my parents liked about me starting in this business at a very young age and really knowing nothing, is that it created this adverse effect to adversity. I was able to pull up my bootstraps easier than most kids. Rejection did not stop me. You can hear 50 no's and be waiting for that yes. So I think the bigger piece here to know is that when a casting director, director, producer, whoever the decision maker is at agency is looking at the piece of audition that your child submits, your teenager submits, they are looking at the best fit for that job in that moment at that time. And there are so many things I never understood when I was auditioning. For example, if you are part of a family, you typically need to look like that family. So if they've hired a dad that they are set on because they've worked with this dad 50 times and they know this dad's going to hit his mark and do everything, then already they're going to call in children that they think could work. But as they put that piece together, you might be wonderful, but you may just not look like you're part of this family or be the right age to maneuver with the other children. Debbie, thoughts on this?
You just have to understand that the work of acting most of the time is the auditioning. I know it's not the part that you get paid for, but that's the work. The booking is like the icing on top. The booking is like a reward. The work is every time you go and you're seen by somebody or you do an audition tape or you walk into a room and introduce yourself and put yourself out there and read your monologue or read your copy. That is the work. That is what you need to do as often as you can, and you need to enjoy it, and you need to be able to just brush it off. Like you were saying, sometimes it's just a matter of you don't fit into who else was already cast, but there can be a million reasons. So it's good to look at yourself and say, oh, I could have done this better, or I could have done that differently. That's great. That's good. A little bit of self-awareness is smart. But you don't have to look at yourself and say, what did I do wrong? Because in most cases, you didn't do anything wrong. You weren't right in that moment, you know, or there were four other kids that looked just like you. And the casting director's like, I don't know, A, B, C, or D, you tell me. Right. So it's not necessarily a reflection on you, even though it feels like it, because that's what acting is. It's offering yourself. And so it hurts more when you're rejected.
And it's being vulnerable. We all know that. You know, listen to some of these interviews with stars today and you'll hear them laugh at this overnight sensation. You know, if you follow the trajectory of people like Brad Pitt and Julia Roberts, you know, they did 50 things before they even had their name listed in the credits. For little kids, I had an acting coach that I worked with. We would work with kids when I was back in Los Angeles. And one of our favorite things to do was to get a bowl of candy. And we would pull out a Snickers bar, a York peppermint patty, a Hershey kiss. And before we'd start each class, we'd ask everybody what their favorite kind of candy was and would take a little poll. And never would you have a unanimous decision. So we explained to the kids that, see how you all pick different candy? Each one of these things are equally good. If I'm the person who loves that Snickers bar, I'm going to die on the sword for that Snickers bar. But if I'm the Twix guy, I like Twix better because I don't want peanuts. That is exactly what acting is. You put your best thing forward and you wait for it to be your turn.
That is the truth. And you have to give of yourself. If you're trying to be somebody other than who you are, or you're trying to play this character that's maybe a little different than you, but you're not injecting yourself into it, then you're not doing yourself any good. That who you are, that Snickers lover, that's important. And that's going to be exactly what the casting director likes at the right time.
I like to equate this, parents, a little bit, if you can remember, to when you were dating or as your teenager starts dating, right? You're going to have breakups. You're going to have things that don't work out. So dealing with rejection is sort of part of everyday life. Dealing with rejection in this process, we tend to take too personally. And again, explaining to children that at any given time, children, teenagers, even young adults, there are probably thousands of people submitted. So just getting the audition, and I used to really hate this phrase and I've come to love it, just getting the audition is already being chosen.
That's huge. Getting the audition and getting your foot in the door. Just think about the ones that you don't get, that you're like, why didn't they choose me out of the group of photos or out of the group of submissions? They didn't choose me to come in and be seen. So yes, just being there and just being in front of that casting director is a big deal. That's what I mean when I say that this is the work. That's the work. When you get the booking, that's just, yes, that's the paycheck. But everything leading up to that is the work. And if you love the work, if you love acting and you want to be an actor, then every time you do that, remember that. Put that passion and that drive into every single time, whether you're going to get it or not.
It's about showing up and giving up. So for the younger kids, you'll be able to tell if this is something they can do and they're interested in, and so will an agent, which is why we like to have open calls at Productions Plus. We like to bring people in because the first shot at getting a chance is getting an agent. So we want to bring people in, experience or no experience, so we can see what you've got. And our panel of agents are pretty experienced in this and know what they're looking for. And even then, if it's a no that day, it's sort of like American Idol and The Voice. Come back next year. Come back to the next open call. Go get some good headshots and try to get a little bit of training and come back in 6 months. Do a community theater production. Come back in 6 months.
Yeah. The more you can work on your craft, the more potential you have to actually take the next step. And so if you come into the office and I say, hey, not this time, but come see us later, do some work between now and then. And if you really love it and it's really, really pulling you, you'll do that work and you'll come back and it'll be your turn one of these times. And we have amazing opportunities here. When I was a kid, if you wanted to do film and TV, you had to be in LA or New York. And even in New York, you didn't have that much opportunity. You could be a theater kid, but you had to know the right people and be in the right spot. But for certain, if a kid wanted to be a big TV star, you had to go to LA. That's not so. There's work here. There's work in other markets. And it's much different now because of self-tapes and everything else. And because there's just more work. There's just more work now than there was. Everything used to be produced in those cities. And now it's produced everywhere.
That's how I ended up in LA for 25 years. And you used to have to choose. You had to make some pretty firm decisions. I remember graduating from Michigan State, and I had a wonderful academic advisor who was also one of my biggest theater teachers and fans. And she said, you're much more built for TV. You have a whole TV feel. Your timing is TV. You need to get to LA. And now you don't have to make those choices at all. Parents don't have to uproot their children. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars to go in for pilot season, because as long as you have an agent, typically you can be seen for certain roles. And that brings me kind of my next point. So you get the agent, you have your tools, you're all excited. I want people to understand this isn't something where we're going to call you every day, because there just isn't work every single day for anyone. Now, there's a lot more work than there used to be, absolutely. And there's that crossover. So you can be a child who comes in and reads for us, and we're submitting you for television commercials, and we might need you for a print ad, because we can submit you for everything across the board. So I want you to know that it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it could be 5 auditions in a row and then quiet. Often parents will contact us and say, why don't you like my child anymore? And that's not what's happening here. So Debbie, explain a little bit about your submission process.
Yeah, so the submission process is, the work for kids in this market exists. It is more sparse than the work for adults. So when a kid's project does come in, I'm going to go to the kids that I have literally right on my desktop. And so these are kids that probably that I've met in person, kids that their parents have reached out, and maybe I haven't met them yet, but they've been with us for a while and they haven't been seen for anything. So if you're on my radar and you're on my desktop, you're the first kids that I'm going to go to, and I'm going to grab you and I'm going to put you in the Dropbox and put you with the roles that fit. But then once that happens, the casting director or the producer or the ad agency, whoever it may be, they're going to go through and they're going to like A, B, and C. And I might not have a lot to say about that. sometimes I'll ask my opinion and I'll say, oh, please, please let me put this kid in. I know they don't fit the, you know, the description that you sent, but they're just, they're great. You got to see them, you know? And sometimes that happens, but a lot of times they're going to choose who they choose. And then from there, you're going to get asked to maybe do a self-tape or maybe do a Zoom audition, or occasionally we have in-office auditions. Hopefully we'll have more soon. And, so you'll come on in or you'll do a self-tape. Maybe you'll read some lines. Maybe you'll act out a scene. And from there, it's up to us. I mean, our job is really getting you there. It's putting you in front of the people that need to cast. And the rest of the work is your work to do. So once you get there, you just have to give your all and be yourself and work hard and try and get the job. But that's kind of the process, you know. I choose who I think has the most potential, and then casting and ad agencies and producers and directors do all of the choosing from there.
And I want to point out something that Debbie said. Sometimes she has a say, sometimes she does not. That's very true for agents. But one of the benefits of having an agent who's been an actor is that that person knows what they're looking at. As an actor, I can look at the breakdowns. I can see exactly in my mind visually what they're shooting, how they're shooting it, what the set looks like, and I know exactly who to submit. That's the value of really knowing your talent. So Debbie's speaking to her portfolio of talent, and hopefully the new talent will be picking up in our Detroit office, but we are submitting these people cross country. So once your child is signed with us, we have a Texas office, but we submit outside of where our physical offices are. So we are submitting for projects in Chicago and New York and Los Angeles. So I want you to know this is another benefit, because not a lot of agents also want to do that. They might specifically zero in on their region, but because we are a SAG franchised agency, a Screen Actors Guild franchised agency, and because we have the subscription to the breakdown services, we can see everything casting in the country. And we do our very best to get everybody seen for those roles. Now, in Detroit and in Texas, our submissions might be open a little quicker than they would in LA, because you have to understand that casting directors have people that they know in relationships as well. So we're responsible for building relationships with the parents, the child, the teenager, the young adult, also the casting director, and hopefully some directors and producers. So we have to do our job on the back end to be viable for your submission to even be opened up.
Right. And I, like you were saying, we submit outside of our general area. Just like in recent weeks, I've submitted for Disney films. There's a Disney animated feature, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I submitted kids for voiceover for that. I submitted kids for, oh gosh, now I'm not going to think of what the movie is. Zombies 4 that Disney's producing. And I have kids that live here in Michigan that self-taped auditions and sent them into casting. And that's a big deal. A Disney movie, a role in a Disney movie is a big deal. So just getting that audition is big. And making sure that I know what you can do is important. Because the kids that I'm putting in that submission, I know that they can do what is needed. So it's really important to communicate and to, for sure, like moms and dads, I know it feels like, oh, I don't want to be pushy, but if you don't think that I know the ability of your child or I know to the extent of what they can do, come on into the office. Call me. We'll set up an appointment. We'll talk. I'll meet your child, you know, if we haven't met yet, and really advocate. You really have to advocate for your kids, because sometimes we just see what we see.
Right. And send emails. Let us know what your child is starring in. If there is, again, a school play, if there's a flyer of something we can look at, we may not be able to get there. We will try, but at least we can see, oh, wow, this person's booking a lot of roles, a lot of work. I love it when people send me that. You know, and as the CEO, I know talent across all portfolios and everybody we represent. And I'll be watching a movie and see someone and say, oh, my gosh, you didn't tell me you were in that movie. And this happened recently. And the talent said, well, that was my West Virginia agent. And I said, well, great. Give us your information. Come on, load up in the portal and let's get you some LA auditions. So let us work for you too. If we don't know what you're doing, we can't help you.
Right.
All right. The last thing I want to talk about is booking the job. So we've talked about the tools and how we deal with rejection and how we get listed with the agency and how we work on an audition. But what happens when rejection isn't into play, but exception is? So, hey, great, you're here. We've accepted you. You have been chosen for the role. So from rejection to selection, you're the one going on set. What should you expect as a parent and what should the actor expect?
So it varies from job to job, whether it's a commercial set or it's a film set, television set, et cetera. I can give you an example of a Jeep shoot that we just did that was three moms and three daughters. And we cast actual moms and daughters, except for one pair. And this is a perfect example of let me know. So we had this lovely young girl, Harper, and the woman who played her mom was Endia, and both lovely actresses. They look similar. They fit, you know, as far as I could see. And then Endia told me after, I have a six-year-old daughter. And I thought, oh, geez, well, I would have submitted you together if I knew that. But now I know that, and I will submit them for projects. But for instance, on that particular project, you know, you show up to set, always make sure you get there early, not too early, but, you know, 15, 20 minutes to give yourself a little time. Casting office or the production will always let you know if you need to come camera ready. That means you need to have your hair and makeup, however it's going to be for the shoot that day. Or they may say, hey, we're going to have hair and makeup on set. And then you come with a clean face and just with your hair just natural. And they'll do what they wish. They'll let you know if you need anything for wardrobe or if they'll be outfitting you there. They'll ask you for sizes. So that's a really good thing to make sure is updated in Senegal or in our database is your size card. So we know what sizes you are, because the quicker we get that information to production, the easier it is for them to start pulling things for you. So you'll have all this information. You'll know what you need to know. You show up with all of your stuff. They get you camera ready or you're already camera ready. And then a lot of times you have to sit around and wait. So be prepared, you know, bring a book, bring something to do. If you're the mom or the dad and you work remotely, bring your laptop and hopefully you can hook up to some internet and get some work done, because there is a lot of waiting around often. And then you get on camera. And sometimes it's your first time. And when it's your first time, you just take a deep breath and you listen to the director and you listen to the assistant director and everybody who's around you that's giving you advice and direction and telling you what they want to see. And then just breathe it in and do your thing. And you'll be amazed when you see yourself on camera. It's a wonderful feeling to see your child or for your child to see themselves like on a big screen. It's a very cool thing.
It's a very supportive situation, parents. The biggest thing I think you need to remember is get your child where they need to be on time, be there and be available, but let the director, the production company do their job. So there's really no room for you giving an opinion or, hey, my child can say that or do that this way. You just kind of float in the back. Often they'll keep you in a holding room while the children are on set. And this is part of the whole experience so that everything can go well, but it's very well monitored. It's a safe environment. And at the end, they're going to have you maybe perhaps sign some paperwork or in the beginning when they're doing an intake. And any agent, our agency or any agent, will always tell you approximately what you're being paid before this job even gets booked. So we're going to say this is a Screen Actors Guild. This is under a union contract. Here's the service fee for this. Here's this. You know, we lay it all out so you know what you're getting paid before you do the job. And sometimes there are residuals attached to that job. Sometimes you're on set and you get an upgrade. So the agent walks you through this whole process.
Yeah, I think that was a really, really important point that you made about parents, about that it's a very friendly atmosphere. However, don't involve yourself in the direction of the production or what needs to happen. Like, parents, as best you can. It's so hard because you want to say, honey, do it like you did it at home. Honey, smile. You know, like you want to give all of that, but you don't need to, because there are people that have really good eyes there that are seeing them, you know, through a monitor, and they're seeing what they need to see, and you have to leave it to them. So asking tons of questions, getting yourself in where you're not supposed to be, you know, they'll tell you, hey, you know, parents, this is the holding room. You guys can hang here, or they'll give you a place to be, and just do your best to take yourself out of the production just while you're there. And then you'll see the magic that they make, because all the folks that are on set have their jobs because they're good at what they do and they know. So you have to trust in that. But that's a really important point, because we even have that here, like at auditions and stuff. Parents will be like, oh, no, she does it better like this, or come on, you know, louder, louder, we can't hear you. And I don't mind that in the audition room, but you definitely don't want to do any of that on set.
Yeah, and you almost always do it better at home, and that doesn't really change as you get older. So let that go. Let me tell you that too. I have some of my best meetings right now with myself. It's amazing. let's talk finally about how do you help your child, your teenager, your middle schooler? And I think this comes into play definitely more in middle school and teen years, balance all of this, because by the time you're in middle school or high school, you probably do, if you're passionate about this, belong to a theater organization or you're participating in theater in the school. We have a lot of dance, a lot of cheerleading, a lot of things that people do. So how do you do that and not make anyone angry if, oh, I have a booking or, oh, I have an audition? And I think some of the things to remember is you can't please everybody at all times. You're trying to do what's best for your child. And if you are serious about this as a business, you're probably at one point going to have to miss a rehearsal, a practice. I think what's important is you sit down with your child, your family, and you create the non-negotiables. So we're not going to miss the state cheerleading finals because we've been cheering for 9 years and this has led into this. We're not going to miss whatever those things may be. And then if the agent calls you for an audition and says, this shoots on X day, and you know that's a non-negotiable day, then you turn down that audition. You say, thank you so much. This is the one thing we cannot miss. And explain it to the agent so they know that this isn't just a, I'm not coming because I don't feel like it. You know, communicate, as Debbie said. And if some things don't align where you don't know the shoot date, you get the booking, you have to try to prioritize this over everything else that's going on in your life. Because again, the opportunities and the odds are so slim sometimes. So you give it every best effort you can. Even if it's a, my child has a shoot today, they're probably going to be done offset by 5 or 6 o'clock PM. I'll get her over to rehearsal immediately following, or him, you know, whatever it is, try to work it out. This is where the pressure does come on the parent a little bit, but this is not going to happen often.
Yeah. And that's just the thing. Kids should understand that you are going to be tired. You're going to be tired. If you want to do all of these things, and if you say, no, you know what? I want to be well-rounded. I still want to play my sport. I still want to do dance, but I also want to do on-camera work. And you've prioritized that the on-camera work is the priority. So that's, you'll miss dance, or you'll miss volleyball, or you'll miss whatever it is, but you're going to go later. Then you're going to go later. So understand that you're going to do your shoot during the day. On your little half hour break, you're going to do your homework. You're going to get to volleyball. And as soon as that's done, you're going to head over to dance, and you're going to get home late, and you're going to take a shower, and you're going to get up early, and you're going to be tired. And that's what dedicating yourself to something you love looks like, even for kids. It's a lot, but if it's what you want and you want to succeed at a higher level, it's what you need to do. You need to decide if that's what you want to do.
And it's a lot like sports. You know, I look at what parents put into their children playing sports and what their hopes are. This is sort of the same thing. There are ways you can really better yourself and make yourself more accessible to getting booked, to getting cast. I mean, I can tell you, I used to take dance classes till 11 o'clock at night in a city that was 45 minutes from where I lived. I could get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I could go to 3 auditions that day, film something, you know, work at a print job the next day. This is all manageable. And I'll tell you what it taught me. It taught me how to go through life a lot easier, manage a calendar, understand commitment. It really provides life skills, just like you're hoping the sports does, the community events, the philanthropy things that we all get involved in, debate club. I mean, I can go on and on and on, but commitment and understanding how to manage a schedule are things our children need to know as they age as well. So it's just another activity that can be really encouraging and enriching for your child if it's not taken in any of the wrong context.
Sure. And there is a way to also still do this, but not make it the priority. That's okay if it's not the priority. If soccer is the priority, then soccer is the priority. And just understand that if you turn down too many auditions, you might start seeing less auditions. Not necessarily. I mean, there are kids that work once or twice a year and they're happy with that and they love the experience, but they have other things that they do. And so that's what they do. And that's okay too. But I think your first point is really important, to just sit down and create non-negotiables and say, these are the things that we have to do, that it doesn't matter what comes up, these things happen, and stick with your plan. And it's okay if your plan isn't to go 100% and this is all we're going to do and we're going to, you know, be up until midnight. And, you know, you can do that. And if you have that kind of drive, good for you, but you don't have to do that. You do have to have some sort of plan though.
Yeah. And for as acting alone, if we're just looking at, hey, I'm going to pursue theatrical, I'm going to pursue on camera, it's not going to create that kind of schedule for you. It's when you piggyback it with other things like everything else we do. But I think that's our biggest point here is a lot of parents and kids come to us a little concerned, you know, and I hear this a lot. I want my child to be a normal child. I don't want them to miss high school. I was a pretty working actor and I did not miss high school. I went to every prom. I did everything I needed to do. So it doesn't have to be that way at all, even with my pretty vigorous schedule. So it is whatever, you know, degree you want to take it, as long as you communicate that with your agent, because your agent doesn't want to be submitting you for 6 or 7 or 10 projects a month if your goal is really about one. So just let us know when we go through that initial intake process.
All good advice.
All right. Well, I hope we've demystified some of this for all of you. Again, we're super passionate about this because we are two kids that grew up in the biz. But we'll be looking forward to seeing some of you in the future in our offices. And anyone who wants to submit to us, please go to our website at productions-plus.com and send in your pictures. And we will do our best at contacting everyone and trying to onboard more and more kids for the biz. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Productions Plus podcast. Please follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Productions Plus. We'll see you next time.